The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Started up new centrifuges that would help it to enrich uranium faster. Iran's Atomic Energy Agency spokesman confirmed to Iranian state TV that there had indeed been an outage. However, the cause of the outage was still unknown. Israeli media were rife with speculation that the power cut was the result of a cyber attack. While the reports offered no sourcing for the evaluation, Israeli media maintains a close relationship with its military and intelligence agencies. If Israel caused the blackout, it further heightens the tensions between the two nations already engaged in a shadow conflict across the wider Middle East. I'm Karen Chamas.
This is SRN News.
Charlie Kirk can see right through the facade.
So why is Hunter Biden sitting down and doing this interview? That's the most important and initial question. I'm going to tell you why he's doing these interviews. He's very worried. He's doing the Andrew McCabe strategy, trying to prevent a grand jury indictment against him. It's that simple. There is no other reason to go on this media blitz. No one asked for it. No one's pressuring it. There was no new revelations.
The Charlie Kirk Show, weeknights at 11 on AM 1280, The Patriot, intelligent radio.
Thanks for tuning in to AM 1280, The Patriot. Weather for today, we got cloudy and a high of 55, moving in the showers likely and a low of 44 for tonight. Tomorrow, showers likely all day with a high of 49 and a low of 35. The Patriot welcomes Charlie Kirk to the airwaves. Charlie formed Turning Point USA in his parents' garage when he was just 18. Charlie says, I grew up listening to conservative talk radio, so I'm excited to bring a new generation's voice to the median. Tune in to The Charlie Kirk Show each weeknight from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. here on AM 1280, The Patriot.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air, live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan. Here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
AM 1280 The Patriot. It is the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with another edition of the broadcast we like to call the closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning into our show. You can check out my blog at bradcarlson.org. And we are here to take your phone calls, 651-289-4488. If you'd like to weigh in via Twitter, feel free to do so. Just use hashtag NarnShow, hashtag NARNShow, hashtag NarnShow for any comments or questions. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. After a beautiful weekend last week, and hope you all had a blessed Easter weekend, by the way. If you didn't figure out the jig was up, I had pre-recorded my show on Saturday and replayed it on Sunday, Easter Sunday. Boy, what a perfect weekend. 70s and sunny all weekend. This weekend, not so much. Maybe in the 50s. A little cool, but whatever the case, I'll take it. It's almost mid-April, which means they're not much closer to May, and May seems pretty stable as far as decent weather. So, we'll just hope for the best. I do have a couple of guests coming on the broadcast today whose appearances I'll promote just before they come on the air. But I do want to take at least this first segment to kind of follow up on something that I talked about last week. If you listen to last week's show, I was talking a little bit about the witness testimony, because right now the prosecution is calling all of the witnesses, and the defense is preparing to call its primary witnesses, if not this week, I think maybe the following week. I don't know if the prosecution has rested as yet, but right now, the defense is only able to ask questions of witnesses in cross-examination, because right now, obviously, these are witnesses for the prosecution that we've seen the first couple of weeks of witness testimony in the
trial of Officer Derek Chauvin. Of course, he, the former Minneapolis police officer, accused of murder in the death of George Floyd, I believe. Second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter are all the charges that are on the table. But the first couple of weeks, you are seeing these main witnesses for, these are witnesses for the prosecution. And so that means the defense, their questioning is limited in scope to only basically questions relevant to what the prosecution has asked. And so a lot of people who are not that familiar with the law, and let's be honest, anybody who gets on social media and proclaims they're experts in, like, oh, I don't know, legalese or the merits of election law or foreign affairs or whatever else, chances are pretty close to 100% they're full of crap, okay? Particularly these ones with no photo avatar and like six followers. Those people you dismiss. But if you nevertheless, if you follow those people on Twitter and expect to, you know, get some productive discourse, number one, you're doing it wrong. Secondly, everybody's bias is being confirmed because the way this is going, say, well, listen to the questions that the prosecution is asking, listen to the questions that the defense is asking. I mean, it's just a slaughterhouse right now. Well, again, defense is only allowed to ask questions relevant to what the prosecution asks. Okay, that's what cross-examination is. Okay, it's going to be a little different when the defense gets to call its witnesses. I bring all this up to say that the medical examiner, Dr. Andrew Baker, the one who actually formed the autopsy, stood by his initial findings. Now, if you remember, I read this last week, I went back to a CARE 11 story back last summer after the autopsy findings came out, and it indicated that the primary cause of death was not Officer Chauvin's knee on George Floyd's neck. And the medical examiner, Dr. Baker, he took the stand this week and stood by what he said. And again, this is from a Star Tribune story from the trial. The medical examiner who did the autopsy on George Floyd testified Friday that because of underlying heart conditions, his restraint by police, quote, was just more than Mr. Floyd could take, close quote, resulting in his death while held down on the street of a Minneapolis intersection. Soon after Floyd's arrest on May 25, Dr. Andrew Baker ruled that Floyd's cause of death at 38th in Chicago was, quote, cardiopulmonary arrest complicating law enforcement subdual restraint and neck compression. Baker did not include a lack of oxygen or asphyxia, a cause that three medical expert witnesses has firmly said was what killed Floyd after being pinned on his stomach under the ex-police officer Derek Chauvin's knee for more than 9 minutes. Okay, this is something I want to talk specifically about because you can bring up all of the expert witnesses you want and their logic is sound by the letter of the scientific law, if you will. But when you have the actual medical examiner who performed the autopsy conveying his findings, that's where the reasonable doubt could possibly creep in for the jury. Now, again, anytime I've talked about this Chauvin trial, the one thing I've always emphasized is you cannot underestimate the possibility of a jury going rogue and saying, you know what, we've seen far too many white police officers get away with atrocities against black men, unarmed black men. Enough is enough. We're not really, we saw enough. We saw what we saw. We've seen enough. You know, Chauvin guilty of second-degree murder. And again, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying that it's not unprecedented that something like this could take place. See the O.J. Simpson trial. And by the way, I've also mentioned in the show before, if you've never seen O.J. Made in America, it's a Netflix documentary. It's like 4 or 5 part documentary, very riveting. you will hear some jurors that were on the Simpson jury flat out admit that, yeah, this is more or less a karma ruling where we're letting OJ walk. So I bring this up to say that this was the actual medical examiner, again, who performed the actual autopsy. And the story I read last week, you may not recall, he said specifically he didn't follow any news about this particular incident because he didn't want his opinions to be overly biased or influenced by what was being conveyed on news or social media or what have you. So he didn't follow any of that and therefore came up with his own independent findings. I'm sorry if there were a medical examiner that saw what happened. I mean, the idea is that they might try to come up with, a narrative that fits what they saw. For instance, the officer was on the back of George Floyd's neck. Okay, he probably died because of that trauma to the back of his neck. Okay, what can I construe? What can I contrive in order to, basically lay the blame at the feet of the officer with his knee on the back of George Floyd's neck? But to Dr. Baker's credit, he didn't watch anything because, he conceded that his own human emotions, own human flaws might get in the way. So that's something that's going to, again, if the jury is following along closely and to the letter of the law, this is something that could very easily put in their minds reasonable doubt. And let's not forget, this was the prosecution witness that was called. So you know that the defense is certainly going to ask questions that would kind of validate what Dr. Baker has conveyed here. I'll read a couple more excerpts and then we'll go to a break. Judge Peter Cahill adjourned for the day after Baker was dismissed and said the trial would resume Monday at about 9:30 a.m. with another medical expert for the prosecution. Earlier Friday, Baker said that, to the best of my knowledge, Floyd was generally healthy on May 25 before the events in of that evening. That said, the doctor tied in the somewhat diseased condition of the 46-year-old Floyd's heart to his death. He had a very severe underlying heart disease, Baker said. Mr. Floyd also had what we call hypertensive heart disease, meaning his heart weighed more than it should. So he has a heart that already needs more oxygen than a normal heart by virtue of its size, and it's limited in its ability to step up to provide more oxygen when there's demand because of the narrowing of his coronary arteries. Now, in the context of an altercation with other people that involves things like physical restraint, it involves things like being held to the ground, it involves things like the pain that you would incur from having your cheek up against the asphalt and that abrasion on your shoulder, those events are going to cause stress hormones to pour out of your body, specifically things like adrenaline. And what that adrenaline is going to do is it's going to ask your heart to beat faster, Baker testified. It's also going to ask your body for more oxygen so that you can get through that altercation. And in my opinion, the law enforcement subdual restraint and the neck compression was just more than Mr. Floyd could take by virtue of those heart conditions. So, yeah, that I don't know if the prosecution anticipated that this would be Dr. Baker's line of testimony. I mean, this is essentially what he said last summer after performing the autopsy. So they obviously had an expectation he would give a semblance of this, or perhaps maybe he might, reconsider what he'd found, given that there were previous medical experts that testified that the knee on the back of Floyd's neck was the main factor in his death. I don't know, but this is going to be very interesting going forward, and I guess the next storyline to follow, and I didn't even know that this was a possibility, but there is question, will Derek Chauvin, former officer Chauvin, take the stand? Again, I'm the furthest thing from a legal expert. I can never emphasize that enough when I'm talking legal issues, but I would have to believe that the only way the defense would call Chauvin to the stand if they believe that they were getting hopelessly creamed in this case, that it's like, you know what, he's going to get second-degree murder the way this is going. Let's just make this a Hail Mary, put him on the stand, and let's see if we could possibly get something out of him that could, you know, reflect on the jurors positively, and, you know, positively from the perspective of Officer Chauvin. Again, I'd be shocked if that were to happen. But again, they've obviously been, Chauvin's defense has been meeting with him, their client, for many weeks now. And I just don't see it happening. I didn't even think it was a possibility, but now that there is even actually a question of it happening, I'd be shocked at what this. I'd be curious to know what the circumstances would be. What would be the defense's mindset to call former Officer Chauvin to the stand if indeed it did get to that point? So definitely something worth keeping an eye upon as the case rolls on. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter. It's hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. Brad Carlson, the closer, coming back with another segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere.
Cool voiceover. Zany sound effect.
We were going to write a flashy promo about streaming us at radio.com, but considering how easy it is to do, we'll keep it simple, too. Listen to The Patriot on the free radio.com app.
Do you need a new battery for your lawnmower, boat, or motorcycle? Full Service Battery offers the lowest prices on batteries in town. Need batteries for your golf cart? Full Service Battery will recycle your old ones and even install the new batteries. Let local, family-owned Full Service Battery put their over 20 years of experience to work for you. They can even custom build a battery cable if you need it. There's only one name you need to remember for batteries, and that's Full Service Battery. Search them online, Full Service Battery.
Want to enroll your child in Christian school this fall for half the cost? TwinCitiesTuitions.com has joined with area private schools to offer half-off tuition for your child's first year. At TwinCitiesTuitions.com, you'll see our partnering schools, an interactive map to find one in your area, and frequently asked questions about the program. Now more than ever, it's important for your child to have a biblical worldview. Get details about the half-off Christian tuition program at TwinCitiesTuitions.com. That's TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
Are you longing to create lasting memories with those you love? Make plans today to spend this summer at Evergreen Bay Resort near beautiful Itasca State Park. Evergreen Bay Resort is close, just a 3.5-hour drive from the metro. There's a lot for you to enjoy, over 66 acres. Evergreen Bay Resort sits on the crystal clear waters of Boot Lake with a huge sandy swimming beach. Choose from one of their 13 modern and spacious cabins, each with their own boat slip. You'll hike, play water sports, fish, and savor star-filled nights by the campfire. Stay for a week or a weekend, but act fast to enjoy this beautiful Minnesota family resort, Evergreen Bay Resort. Check out their availability at evergreenbayresort.com. Time together with those you love is a gift they will treasure forever. Start creating those lifelong memories at evergreenbayresort.com. Don't forget the word bay. That's evergreenbayresort.com. Family fun awaits you at evergreenbayresort.com.
American Pressure, spray it, don't say it.
Pressure pumps and parts to get the job done. Pro pressure washers and the Arctic steamer. Our service and selection is second to none. Professional quality from the proven leader. American Pressure, Inc.com. American Pressure.
Have you been charged with a gun crime? Have you lost your gun rights due to an old criminal offense? Have you been denied a permit to carry or a purchase of a firearm? I'm Attorney Kelly Keegan, and I can help. Contact us for a free consultation at KeeganLawOffice.com.
Welcome back, AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning in. Here to take your phone call, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions. As always, we appreciate you tuning in.
Going to check in with our first guest now, joining us via phone, Bert Eiler. He is the vice president of an organization entitled the National Center for Police Defense. This is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping law enforcement officers in their time of need after an on-duty catastrophe, either through providing support and resources during a legal process or during sick leave due to a severe injury. Obviously, police altercation, specifically with citizens, has been in the news quite a bit over the past few years, and unfortunately, the police aren't always shown in the most positive light, so this organization provides support for those officers. I will talk to Mr. Eiler about perhaps some specific incidents, anecdotes that he'd like to share, and maybe the any relevant context that's going on to the current trial here in Minneapolis of former police officer Derek Chauvin. Bert Eiler, welcome to the Northern Alliance Radio Network, sir. Good to have you on.
Hey. Thank you very much, Brad. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you joining the program. I guess talk a little bit about your background, Mr. Eiler, and I guess the inspiration slash motivation for you being a part of this particular organization.
Sure. Well, my history, actually, I'm originally from Minnesota, grew up in White Bear Lake.
Okay.
Yeah, graduated in 85, went into the Marine Corps from 88 to 92. When I got out, I got into law enforcement in 95. I recently graduated after, or graduate, retired after 25 years of law enforcement. It was a sheriff's department and a police department in Northern Virginia. 2015, myself and Jim Fotis decided to, we needed a group that helps law enforcement.
Sure.
Because we noticed the trend in 2015 how law enforcement and officers were getting charged criminally for doing the job the way they've been trained. So our organization is a little bit different because we help for legal. We also help for personal expenses, such as, you know, your mortgage, okay, your housing, car payment, electrical. And we notice that a lot of other organizations, you know, everybody helps, but we help across the board. I also have a peer support group where it helped a lot with the spouses, that they could talk about, you know, what actually they're feeling and going through. Because if you haven't been through it, you don't understand it. So we kind of work that way. And currently we have, we're helping 15 officers across the nation right now.
Okay. So I guess from the, you know, obviously from a position of having been in law enforcement and given the things your organization does, obviously, you know, and you don't have to reveal any names of your clients if you don't want to, Bert Eiler, but obviously I imagine you've been paying rapt attention to the trial that's taking place right here in the Twin Cities of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Any perspective or anecdotes you'd like to share surrounding this particular case? Obviously very high-profile case, and a lot of people initially saw the horrifying 8.5-9 minute video, but didn't see the larger context of the full body cam footage. So from your standpoint, Bert Eiler, I imagine that had to have been somewhat frustrating, because sometimes you're not getting the whole story, and an organization like yours could certainly be put in a poor light because people could react and say, why would you support somebody who does something like that, Bert Eiler?
Yes, well, you are correct, and we are supporting all four of the officers.
Okay.
In the not just Derek, but the other three officers with their potential trials coming up.
Sure.
And we just feel that he has a right to a fair trial. Not all the evidence is coming out that we believe should be coming out, and watching the trial, you know, my personal opinion, I don't think he committed any type of murder, mm-hmm, and he needs that support from myself and other officers and other people out there that believe in him. And he needs to understand that there's people out there that support him. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to support him.
Yeah, and obviously you had alluded to the fact that particularly since 2015, there's been a lot of high-profile incidents involving police officers where their motives, their actions were all called into question. And so as a result, because of your organization and I imagine some pretty high-profile clients, you do
represent. I imagine Bert Eiler, there's probably a tremendous amount of, or maybe not a tremendous amount, but some pushback that comes against your organization for people who maybe just see certain clips out of context or maybe not getting the whole story?
Yeah, so that is true. That's why we try and get out the information in a truthful manner. We do a lot of direct mail to individuals that support us to let the story be out there, to let everybody know that these officers are human. And they're out there to do their job. And this just isn't in the Minnesota case. It's across the nation.
Sure.
The officers don't go out there thinking, oh, I'm going to, you know, harm somebody. We go out there to help. And that's why we all got into the line of work. You know, I loved my job for 25 years. And this is just an extension of it. And we need to help the officers. We're human. And, you know, that's what we're trying to bring to everybody, that we love helping people. And, you know, that this is the way to let people know, you know, how to help.
So how is it that, you know, if you do, and obviously there are going to be some detractors to this line of work, to this philosophy, do you ever take the opportunity to maybe meet with those in these communities, particularly community activists who are, you know, let's be honest, at times very hostile toward police forces? I mean, is there ever that kind of outreach to kind of get your perspective out there and make it known? Because unfortunately, some people will, you know, just take things, hearsay, secondhand information, and not really get to understand what you're all about. So is there that opportunity of maybe talking to people on the other side, Bert Eiler?
Yeah, we're trying. That's why we're reaching out. Since I was here in Minnesota, we wanted to do a show, and we had the opportunity to do your show or to reach out. Hopefully with this show, people will listen and want to contact and have a conversation about it. But we're available to talk about it. We're working with the Minneapolis Peace and Police Officers Association to help them reach out to, you know, to let people know. And there's two sides, and we're willing to talk, but we have to have a, you know, what I would say, an adult conversation.
I seem to recall, and I don't know if you ever saw footage of this. This was maybe 3-4 years ago. There, I believe it was down in Arizona. There was a very high-profile activist down there decrying a lot of the police shootings that had taken place, basically labeled all of them as unjust. And I think it was a police department, some sort of law enforcement official maybe, that said, look, if you if you'd like to go undergo some use of force scenarios, you know, perhaps you could kind of be the police officer in this scenario and you could show us how you would react if confronted with any of these particular scenarios. I don't know if you ever saw that, Bert Eiler, but to me it was very compelling, very fascinating, and it was a very much an eye-opener for this particular activist.
That would be a great idea. No, I do not recall that one.
Okay.
I know, I'm pretty sure if some of the activists would probably reach out, you know, some police departments may put them through scenario-based. You have the, you know, kind of like a video game where you can look at the screen and make decisions.
Sure.
You also have going through a scenario, a live scenario. That's, you know, all the policy of the different police departments across the United States. I know some of them will do that. Like you have a, you know, Citizens Police Academy. Sometimes they run them through those type of scenarios. And I think what is best is that people understanding the decisions that we have to make. I think sometimes people don't look at the incident through the eye of a police officer.
Sure.
Making that split second decision and their training. And I think if they got a better idea of what we go through, it would probably help.
Yeah, like I say, I hear of incidents like in, I know I'm sure you're probably familiar with the incident that took place, I can't remember the exact time frame, but in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where a man who brandished a knife against police officers, and all people ever heard of, well, police shot him in the back seven times when he was just walking away. And that, I think that's probably my source of frustration, and I can't imagine your source of your frustration, Mr. Eiler. The fact is people aren't getting the whole story. Once, even Jacob Blake, the young man who was shot by police. Even he came out and said some things that weren't necessarily a positive reflection on him either.
No, correct. In the one you're talking about in Wisconsin, what I give, the DA who came out and explained why he wasn't going to charge the officer, that was a great motivator. Well, I mean, a great reason why they didn't have too many more riots out there. He came out and explained exactly why
right. They
weren't being charged. But I think it's transparency. You also have, defunding. I don't think it's defunding police as much as funding the police. You got to give them more tools to deal with the situations. Certain situations, you need better training sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, we are joined by...
We can all agree that a good education benefits students, their family, and society as a whole. Education shapes your child into the person they will become. Join your local hosts, Rebecca Hagstrom and Mark Durkin, as they explore how to get the best education for your child while ensuring that the values you're teaching at home are being respected. From cursive to curriculum and everything in between, school is now in session.
Education Nation, Saturdays at 6 p.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-482-8399. 800-482-8399. That's 800-482-8399.
Does your office need a little TLC? Do you notice your bathrooms are a bit smelly? Are the surfaces in your break room a little sticky? And isn't that the same coffee spill on the floor and chili splatter in the microwave from weeks ago? If so, I've got the solution. Hi, I'm Tasha, owner of Forever Cleaning. We're family-owned and offer affordable, reliable office cleaning all over the Twin Cities metro area. So if your office is screaming for help, call me today. Let's get you scheduled for your free walkthrough so you can receive your free quote at 763-807-9817. If you mention this ad, you will receive 15% off your first month of service. Again, call 763-807-9817. Or you can visit my website at forevercleaning.com. That's the number 4, evrcleaning.com. Remember, Forever Cleaning is so thorough, you'll wonder if your mom snuck in overnight and cleaned.
Alexa, how do I fix a circuit breaker that keeps tripping?
Yeah, that sounds like something to save for the professionals. You need to call Early Bird Electric. Their expertise is troubleshooting and rewires. They're offering a free service call with purchased repair. Get same-day service and a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Early Bird Electric. Call
612-THE-BIRD. Early Bird Electric. 612-THE-BIRD.
Welcome back, AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Me, Brad Carlson. Thanks always for tuning in. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. Again, continuing our discussion with Bert Eiler. He's the vice president of the National Center for Police Defense. By the way, check out their website, nationalcenterforpolicedefense.com. You can find out more about their organization. And also, Mr. Eiler, I'm assuming because you are a nonprofit, you do accept charitable donations. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. We're 100% nonprofit, and everything that is donated is tax deductible.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I know many of our listeners do support those law enforcement officers they feel are being unfairly maligned in whatever situation that's brought before them, if they do have to face a trial in a court of law, what have you. So, and so many other things that they have besides just providing legal defense. So again, check out their website, National Center for Police Defense .com. Bert Eiler, we've heard a lot over the past few years when police officers, at least in the eye of the public, are ultimately not charged with a crime in a certain incident, a shooting incident, what have you. And the thing that is often crops up is, look, we need to get rid of qualified immunity. We need deeply reform it, get rid of it altogether. If you could maybe give us a 10,000-foot view, Bert Eiler, of what qualified immunity entails, and from your perspective, would that be a good idea to get rid of it or even reform it at this point?
No, I think qualified immunity needs to stay. I mean, it protects the officer for doing their job. I mean, if you take away that, then they can get sued for the smallest thing for themselves. I mean, if you look at New York City, they just took their qualified immunity away. And I think that makes it scary for officers and to get, you know, qualified police officers to join.
Sure.
Because without that, it's tough to get qualified people.
So if there is a specific incident, and, you know, and I imagine there may be, you know, and I don't want to speak for your organization, you could certainly confirm this or not, but are there ever cases that crop up where you look into the background of them and say, look, the, you know, and if so, you don't have to give the specific incident, but has there ever been an incident where you look at and say, this is probably something that we're not going to touch at this point?
Yeah, there's been several that we've done the research on it, and we're like, you know, that's not a decision that anybody would make. It's you know, why, you know, even as an officer, I look and use my 25 years of experience, like, why'd you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only one that came to mind is the incident in South Carolina. The gentleman tased, the officer tased him. He turned and started going away, and then he just shot him.
Right. I remember that.
But there was no threat. There was no, you know, anything. He was walking away. So when we look at that, it's like, you can't defend that.
Right. So from that standpoint, if people then, you know, people come out and I think they've probably used this example, and, you know, I don't, you can certainly refresh your memory what ultimately happened with that case, but the people come out and use that example, say, well, if police have qualified immunity, they're allowed to do things as you saw in South Carolina, which I don't think is the case, Bert Eiler.
No, I don't have the specifics. He was charged and found guilty.
Okay.
Qualified immunity doesn't necessarily protect, you know, wrongdoing where, you know, you had every intent to do an act such as that one. So it doesn't cover you. As far as I know, I'm not totally into the full of qualified immunity, but
okay,
that's what it sums it up to be. You know, if it is a criminal act, you can't still be charged.
Is there, I've heard, and again, you can confirm this or maybe disagree with this, but I have heard from those who might observe law enforcement that they say because some police officers put themselves in a situation where they're not reacting appropriately to a situation and say a suspect in police custody ends up dying is because perhaps they're not getting enough, say, on the job training. I mean, they may get a lot of the training behind the scenes and everything else, and that's all fine and good. But unless you're actually out there on the, you know, proverbial front lines, it's not going to be as impactful. Do you agree, disagree that there is adequate enough training for police officers to be able to get out on the beat and be out on the street in that capacity?
I believe so. I mean, I can't speak for, you know, police departments across the nation. I mean, the police department I was with, I got adequate training. I got updated training. You know, every year you're practicing certain things. I think some places where, you know, across the board need improvement, maybe mental health, dealing with a mental health person. Do you get kind of specialized training in that? Those are things that can be added in, but I know my old department, we ended up getting training dealing with mental health, critical incident team, where you learn how to deal, or not necessarily deal with the mental health, but be able to kind of use the skills on talking to them or determining whether, is it a mental illness? Is it somebody on drugs like PCP? Is it somebody with autism? Because those are different signs.
Sure.
So if you can determine that, you know how to de-escalate it. But sometimes you could do all you can to de-escalate, and it's not going to happen.
Right. As I understand if you don't want to comment on the specifics of, you know, we've alluded to the trial that's taking place here in the Twin Cities right now, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin and the death of George Floyd in police custody. Again, a lot of people like to do their Monday morning quarterbacking. I understand that it's part of what we do as a society because everybody has access to form opinions. A lot of people talked about in that specific incident de-escalation. And given what we know about the situation, the condition George Floyd was under, do you feel that that's something, and again, not looking for you to throw anybody under the bus, but do you think there was any possibility that something could have been done dramatically different? Because it was an awful situation how we ended up. I understand that. But in your mind, Bert Eiler, anything that could have been done differently in that specific incident?
No, I think they fall back in from following the trial and that I think they fell back on their training. They did their training properly. Rescue came. They got them assessed, got them in the ambulance, and, you know, medical assessed it. And depending on each department, you know, you're taught to put them on their side to make sure that if something happens, keeps their airway open. If they decide to like vomit, it's going to come off the side, then putting them on their,
sure,
you know, on their back.
Right.
So you're taught to kind of keep them on the side.
Because I don't remember which law enforcement official conveyed this during the trial, but it was a law enforcement official, and he flat out said that once George Floyd was basically on his stomach, hands behind his back, or, you know, in cuffs, that the physical restraint should have stopped at that point. And yet Officer Chauvin remained basically on his, if you want to say back, upper back, his neck area. He remained there. How did you react to that line of testimony? Or did you hear about that?
I heard a little bit about it. With that, like I said, I'm in the realm of, I'm not going to Monday night quarterback it. Like I see a lot,
sure,
of people out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're Monday night. Well, you should have done this. You should have done that. You know, the way they restrained them was through their policies, and only they can determine while you're at the scene what is necessary. You know, was he kicking? Was he, you know, you don't know what he was actually doing, you know, to get him up. There was a reason why they kept him on his side, and that's going to be answered through those officers.
Do you think I talked a little bit about the Chauvin trial in the first segment before you came on?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think I don't know how well versed you are in the legalese of this, but do you think it would be a wise decision for him to take the stand?
that I can't answer.
Okay,
I don't know.
Fair enough.
we'll leave that to the defense, his defense team.
Yeah, I'll just, my personal opinion, I'd be shocked. Just because if they feel like things are going well, I guess my philosophy is if they feel like things would be going so poorly that it would be almost looked at as a Hail Mary, maybe. But from what I've been following, I mean, I'm no legal beagle, can never emphasize that enough. I don't think the case for murder has been made. Definitely, perhaps. Manslaughter, but murder, I just don't see happening. But it's all a crapshoot with juries. You get as someone who I guess watches this from distance, Bert Eiler, you probably attest to.
Right, and you know, you also have the trial with, you know, the settlement and all that. If you're looking at a fair trial, I mean, how is he really getting a fair trial?
That's an excellent point. Yeah, yeah, that the timing of that settlement certainly was curious. Just before the trial, the city settled with the family for, I think, upwards of $27 million. Yeah, I had the same question, Bert Eiler.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once again, yeah, we, Mr. Eiler, we do appreciate your time once again. Bert Eiler, he's the vice president of an organization, National Center for Police Defense. Again, check out their website, nationalcenterforpolicedefense.com. And again, I know many of our listeners are supporters of law enforcement. So if you did want to make a contribution to this organization, again, they are a full nonprofit and you do have that option. Bert Eiler, thank you so much for your time today, sir.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
Yeah, best of luck going forward and have a great rest of your weekend.
Hey, you too. Thank you very much.
AM 1280, the Patriot Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with one final segment this hour. Go nowhere.
If I can reach the stars, pull one down for you.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Limitless access to intelligent talk. Stream AM 1280, The Patriot with our free app, your smart speaker, or with iHeart, TuneIn, and radio.com. We live in the Twin Cities, but serve worldwide.
Well, I moved into the house in the summer of 2018, and the siding was terrible. Hi, I'm Dave from Matamidi. I got a hold of JTR through friends. It almost looked like a giraffe. There were dark stains where the water had saturated the old paint that was on it, but there were other things that needed addressing, and there were a multitude of things, from putting doors in and railings and doing some electrical and things like that, all of which JTR gladly folded into the contract and took care of for me. It was an amazing transformation. In fact, my brother-in-law, who had visited before we had the siding done, when he came back about a month after it had been done, he stopped out in front of the house and called me and said, "What's your address again?" Because he couldn't believe the difference.
Contact JTR Roofing now for your siding, roofing, and window needs.
My name is Namrita Singh Gujral. I am a filmmaker and an immigrant. My film, America's Forgotten, uncovers the unintended consequences of a broken immigration system.
The 7-year-old girl died in the desert.
This child came from the country of India.
I'm living in the Dachar. I can go to the police.
I never expected this journey would lead me to a truth that I never intended to find.
A great pillar of the community was killed by a man who had been deported at least twice.
The public would be outraged if they knew the truth.
I found how much Americans are being lied to regarding our immigration policies at the border. My friends, my industry, even my family all rallied against the final message of this film. All credits had to be hidden for fear of retribution. If you care about the future of America, you should watch America's Forgotten.
For additional savings, enter the promo code Minneapolis at checkout.
Has your water heater decided to create one of Minnesota's 10,000 lakes in your basement? Have a burst pipe? Dripping faucet? Is your water not soft anymore? Champion Plumbing is a call away. Champion will be there fast in your time of need. They service the entire metro area, and they're taking all the necessary precautions to keep you and your household safe. A champion is someone who goes the extra mile to get the job done. And that's Champion Plumbing. Online at championplumbing.net. When you call, make sure you tell them the Patriot sent you.
You listen every day.
I never miss it.
So now it's time for you to join the conversation.
Who, me?
Like AM 1280 The Patriot on Facebook and share your thoughts with like-minded conservatives. You can also enter to win prizes, learn about upcoming events, and more.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280, The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. It's me, Brad Carlson. One final segment this first hour. And we do want to get to our phone caller real quick on line one. Bob is calling us from Shoreview. Bob, always good to hear from you, sir. You are on the Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Yes, I have two comments. One is for Chauvin, one's kind of against him. The first one, the pulmonologist, Dr. Martin Tobin, claimed that fentanyl was not involved in George Floyd's death because his breathing rate was 22 breaths per minute, not the 10 breaths per minute that you would expect to see in somebody being affected by fentanyl.
Okay.
But Dr. Tobin failed to take into consideration the stress from the altercation with police, which would have increased his breathing rate probably, you know, from 10 breaths to 20 or 22 breaths per minute. And that's probably why Floyd's breathing rate appeared normal. You know, I think he left that consideration out, or he didn't factor that in at all.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I certainly haven't heard a lot of the witness testimony. I know there were three prior experts that say that the knee was the primary factor, the knee in the back of Floyd's neck was a primary factor in his death, whereas, like I say, the initial medical examiner's report that came out last summer had said that his condition, you know, I mean, any stressful situations would have exacerbated his condition, and that was the primary cause. So, yeah, juries are going to have an interesting decision to weigh, that's for sure, Bob. Did you have another comment?
You have time. Yeah, the thing against Chauvin, I guess, is, and I'm not sure of this because I'm not a policeman, it seemed to me the last 3 minutes, you know, when Floyd was actually passed out and wasn't moving anymore, why didn't they check his pulse and then start CPR then? I mean, it seems like negligence, but I could be wrong. I wasn't there. I'm not a policeman. It's just a speculation that I have and a troubling question. What do you think?
Yeah, appreciate the call, Bob. Yeah, I thought the same thing. It's like when it was very obvious he was no longer moving. And again, I talked to this with my guests the previous segment. You know, there was law enforcement officials who said when he's on his stomach and his hands are behind his back, there's no damage he could do. There was no need to really restrain him at that point, even though he was still, you know, talking and moving and what have you. And then when he was not moving and no longer talking, yeah, that's I don't know if that's been broached in the trial as yet, you know. And again, that would be certainly be a question that would be asked if Officer Chauvin, if inexplicably he took the stand. But yeah, that's a inquiry that I had as well, and I don't have a good answer for that. But you know, that's been bandied about certainly a little bit in the trial, is the reaction of the officers when he stopped moving, you know, before medical personnel showed up. So something to definitely keep in mind, that's for sure. So I do want to switch gears to a little bit, another local story. Apparently there was an election yesterday for the chair of the Republican Party. It was obviously incumbent chair Jennifer Carnahan. She actually had an opponent. I don't think she had an opponent in 2019 when she ran for her first reelection, but this time she did. Minnesota State Senator Mark Curran was her opponent. And after I heard the results yesterday of this chair race, I was asked immediately for my comments. So we'll play those pre-recorded comments right now. Yeah, that was pretty much my reaction. Look, in all seriousness, I haven't done anything for grassroots Republican Party politics for 5 or 6 years. You know, I vote primarily for Republicans. Well, I vote exclusively for right-of-center candidates, mostly Republicans. But occasionally I'll sprinkle in, you know, a few Libertarian candidates, Constitution Party, what have you, you know, any right-of-center party candidate. But my thing is, look, I've heard all the allegations against Jennifer Carnahan for being a horrible boss. You had some, you know, high profile ex-employees of the party come out and say what a toxic work environment that she put forth at the state party. But at the end of the day, she got, I think it was close to 70% of the vote. She got 224 of the state central delegates to vote for her, as opposed to 109 for Mark Curran. So the delegates, I don't know, they think enough of her to give her that overwhelming victory. Look, at the end of the day, a lot of the Republican state party issues, you know, predated Carnahan. I mean, number one, no Republican has won a statewide race since 2006 when Governor Plenty was reelected. Now, you could say, well, that really isn't the issue, that it really isn't the fault of the state party. Yeah, I'll just say this. Obviously, the onus is on the candidate to convey their message of what they're running on and why they would be the better candidate for whatever statewide office they're running for, whether it happens to be governor or one of the constitutional offices or the U.S. Senate seats. Yeah, obviously the onus is on the candidate. But once you get a candidate that is the statewide candidate, then you have to have a reliable party apparatus in place to support that candidate and their message. And I don't see where the Minnesota Republican Party has been able to really put forth the support that these statewide candidates have needed. And again, these issues predate Jennifer Carnahan. I've met Jennifer Carnahan on a couple of occasions, like her just fine. So I can't speak to what people are talking about, but the people who have said that she's put forth a toxic work environment, those who have gone on the record, I know these people personally and like them a lot as well. And, you know, I don't believe they have any reason to, you know, tell falsehoods. Again, I don't know of any animosity between these people and Jennifer Carnahan. So I may be speaking out of turn from that. But bottom line is, you know, when she first won in 2017, the Republicans really haven't fared well at all. I mean, you look at it in 2018, they lost the majority in the Minnesota House, obviously lost the Senate seat. In 2018, Karen Housley was opposing Tina Smith in a special election. And then in 2020, Tina Smith ran for a full 6-year term and defeated Republican Jason Lewis. Obviously, no Republican won any statewide offices in 2018. We got close with the auditor's office, got really close with the attorney general's race, but neither one got over the top. And again, is Chair Carnahan to blame for that or not? You know, I don't know. But all I can say is that nothing has really changed since 2006 when Governor Plenty got a narrow reelection victory. I mean, you know, look at all the chairs that have been around since then. I mean, you've had Ron Carey and then Tony Sutton. And after Tony Sutton abruptly resigned, you know, you had Pat Shortridge who took over on an interim basis. Then Keith Downey had a couple of terms. And then, you know, now Chair Carnahan's got this is her third term she's been elected to. And at no point has the state party been able to provide a, you know, solid backing system for the statewide candidates. You know, you can name the reasons as why, but the point is like, as someone who votes primarily for Republican statewide candidates as the most viable candidates to defeat Democrats, I'm rooting for her. And I hope she can get things turned around. I hope we can break our losing streak next year. Not optimistic, but I hope it can happen. Hour number one in the can, hour number two coming back in mere moments. AM 1280, The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network.
If you're in HR, you're probably wearing a lot of hats. Recruiter, team builder, trainer, mediator, policymaker, and of course, paper pusher. But not anymore. Bamboo HR is the number one HR software for small and medium businesses. It manages all your employee data easily and automates countless tasks so you can focus on people, not paperwork. Bamboo HR frees you from spreadsheets so you can do your real job, creating a great place to work. If the data shuffle and paperwork mountain have you ready to hang up all your hats, you're ready for Bamboo. If you handle HR records and paperwork, Bamboo HR is a dream. Let us free up your time and put your days of pushing paperwork behind you so you can focus on the people and making your company a great place to work for everyone. Try PC Magazine's top pick for HR software free today. Just go to bamboohr.com/HR. This is a limited offer, only available to radio listeners at bamboohr.com/HR. That's bamboohr.com/HR.
Are you the principal or leader of a Christian or Catholic school? Would you like to fill the empty seats in your classrooms for no cash out of pocket? TwinCitiesTuitions.com would like to team up with you on our tuition program for first-year students. You'll be part of a marketing campaign to raise awareness about your school and gain new students for next year and beyond. Again, at no cash investment for your school. Get details by logging on to TwinCitiesTuitions.com. That's TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
There are ideas and ideologies afoot in our culture today, lurking beneath the surface. Fault Lines is a book that will help you discern these worldviews and ideas, help you understand what they are and where they come from. Critical race theory, social justice, intersectionality. We've all heard these terms, but most of us have no idea what they mean. Fault Lines will not only help you understand the meaning of these words, but it will also help you understand the ideologies behind them. Fault Lines is a book for our day, for our time,
for this moment, because I'm not talking about something that's coming. I'm talking about something that's here, something that has to be confronted now. This is Vody Bachum, and I want to encourage you to buy my new book, Fault Lines, available everywhere books are sold, April 6th.
Did you know that the Patriot mobile app can do more than just stream your favorite shows? Here's cool feature number one. You can set an alarm on our app that will automatically start streaming The Patriot at whatever time you decide. It's easy. Just open the menu in the upper left-hand corner, select Alarm, and choose a time. You can set it to wake you up in the morning with Hugh Hewitt or any of your favorite hosts. Download the free AM 1280 The Patriot app today. Celebrating two decades.